Goodness. Greetings, everyone. It's your girl, Adina, with the eighth edition from the third season of the Goddess Technology Podcast. I'm excited to be here, world. I'm excited to be here. I am the Goddess of Magical Movement, co-founder of Belly Dancers of Color Collective, founder of Goddess Technology, the podcast, the retreats, the experience, the opportunity for us in the feminine body to really understand and know ourselves as goddess. Today, we have an amazing conversation with Ariel Williams from Angelic Alchemy. We're talking about cultivating wellness with the use of plant medicines. If you're familiar with plant medicines and you know that plant medicines hold a profound cultural connection within the Black community, serving as a bridge to revive and honor ancestral traditions. This connection is deeply rooted in historical uses of plants for healing, spiritual uses, as well as communal purposes across Africa and really the whole diaspora. By recapturing the folktales, the songs, and dance of our ancestors, as suggested by my consciousness, we can tap into the healing love of the mother essence, fostering a sense of belonging and continuing our own heritage. The use of plant medicines such as iboga, mushrooms, and different animal sacraments is not only a means of physical healing, but also a spiritual practice that allows individuals to connect with the wisdom of their ancestors. These substances have been historically used to facilitate spiritual growth and experiences and shamanic practices, really providing a gateway of alternative realities where we can interact with ancestral spirits and gain insights for personal growth and communal growth. This has been my experience, and that's why I'm so excited to bring this next guest. She's a sexy goddess. She's youthful. She's happy. She's healing, and she can help us as we have this amazing discussion. I'm going to play two commercials, one about Belly Dancers of Color Collective, the next about the Goddess Technology Retreat to Bali, and then the next voice you will hear will be that of Ariel Williams. I'll see you in a minute.
Discover the joy of movement and sisterhood with Belly Dancers of Color Collective. No dance experience? No problem. All bodies are welcome here. Let's heal together. Connect with your sacred feminine essence in a safe space filled with love and support. Join us for belly dance, yoga, and mind, booty, and soul events.
Hi, Goddess. Embark on a sacred journey. Goddess Technology Retreat Bali. Join us August 2nd through the 9th, 2025, for an unforgettable experience designed exclusively for the Divine Feminine. Nestled in the lush, tranquil landscape of Bali, this retreat is your sanctuary, a place to draw within and
gateway to wholeness expands. For more information, reserve your spot today. Visit our website at bit.ly/letstalkaboutbali. bit.ly/letstalkaboutbali. Your divine transformation is calling you. Let's go, goddess. Let's go.
Yes. So happy to have a conversation today with Ariel Williams of Angelic Alchemy. Ariel, are you there, my love? Are you there?
Yes, yes, I am here.
Oh, I hear. Oh, there you are, goddess. You look amazing. You look
Thank
amazing,
you. So
my
beautiful.
Love. Yes, I'm so happy to sit and say community with you right now across these airwaves. I'm grateful that technology makes it such that we can have this conversation just like we're sitting together in a living room having tea. So our cheers to you.
It's such an honor. Ashe, it's such an honor. Thank you for having me, Adina. And
yes.
I really appreciate sharing this beautiful space with you and being able to have these powerful discussions around wellness, sacred medicine, and internal hygiene.
Ashe, I love that internal hygiene. We're going to get into that in a minute, how you really break that down, how plant medicine can be internal hygiene. But before we go deep into this, let's talk about little Ariel. I love starting off learning about your path and how you got to be this amazing, yummy, sexy green goddess that you are, that's defying whatever they say age is. You know, they already say black don't crack, but this is beyond that. You know, we are knowing that we're eternal and we're just, you know, glowing. I'm saying weird because I'm, you know, working these plants right there with you. So we just doing our thing, showing people what's possible, what's really possible.
You know, guys,
little Ariel, where'd you grow up, honey?
Originally, I'm from Minnesota by way of Chicago. So, born in Chicago, spent most of my youth in Minnesota.
Okay, so pause. I was born in Chicago. And so you went from Chicago to Minnesota. You went from cold to colder. Poor baby.
yeah, exactly. And I come from a pretty big family. My mother had 8 children. So I have 7 siblings.
Wow.
And just pretty awesome family I come
what
from.
What birth number are you?
Say it again.
What birth number are you?
I'm a master 11.
You no, I mean not that because you're in this whole other system. I mean like your birth order. You said your mom had 8 babies. Your baby
okay. I'm sorry. In terms of my I'm the middle child. I'm actually I'm number 5.
What is going on? Let me see my camera. On technology. Gotta love this. Okay, I'm gonna plug in another camera. Keep talking.
Yeah, so I'm number 5. One of my siblings grew up in Chicago with my aunt, so it's kind of a little tricky for me sometimes when I count it. But I'm technically like the middle child, even though.
Okay, so the first order you said number
5.
What number did you say?
5.
5. Okay. So by the time your mommy loved babies because, you know, when you get to 5, you're doing that on purpose for sure.
Well, you know, honestly, I come from a really powerful line of matriarchs. My grandmother has 17 children. So it kind of runs in the family.
Wow. 17. 17 is my number. I was born on July 17th. So that's amazing. So 17
wow.
babies. And so then your mom did 8. So she was like, I'm not going to do the 17, but I can give you 8. I can go almost half of that.
Definitely that's, powerful.
Yeah, that is powerful. That's amazing. Where in Chicago were you guys?
The South Side.
Okay. So Ariel, we cousins because that's where I was from. So.
Oh, you know. Wow. Beautiful to know. That's always good to know.
South Side. I was just in Chicago last week too. I was there visiting family last week. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, wonderful. So how did little Ariel leaving South Side of Chicago, going to Minnesota? Like, why Minnesota? Was there a did you have family already in Minnesota? Like, what caused
you? Yes. Yeah. So we have a few aunts that lived in Minnesota already. And my mother was just called to be with some of her sisters up there because it was just a much more conducive environment to raise children. And my mother wanted us to have a really, you know, healthy, wholesome life outside of, you know, the ruggedness that Chicago can bring at times. So we came up there pretty young and got some good education and was able to be around other family as well. So I have a pretty large family in Chicago, but I also have an extended family in Minnesota. And majority of my like immediate family is in Minnesota.
Okay. And then you said, I'm out, I'm done with this cold, I'm going to Florida. You know, like you went to the whole, like at what point did you get to Florida?
All over. First, I visited Jacksonville and I loved it. Had an amazing experience. Had some powerful people out there, some beautiful friends. And then I started visiting South Florida. I was really drawn to South Florida because it's the gateway to all of the beautiful tropical islands. And my Rasta energy at that time that I was connecting to, and just wanting to like be close to the island, be close to the water, be close to nature, and all of that. So that was definitely a big power move for me in my personal journey.
That's amazing. That's amazing. This is my son. Thank you for the love. I'm like getting a kiss in the middle. I love it. Okay, so that sounds wonderful. I'm just picturing your big family in Chicago, your big family in Minnesota, and then the gateway of Florida for you. I'm glad you've had that extreme. What do you say, or do you think, as you look at little Ariel, informed her as and prepared her to be the green goddess that you are now, the plant medicine specialist? Like, how did little Ariel find this path? Was it a mother? Was it a grandma? Was it an auntie? Was it someone who led you to your love of plants and, you know, communing this way?
That's a good question. It was several things on my path. I honestly believe it was written in the stars before I came here, because I've had an amazing journey just from being youthful. I was really highly, you know, sensitive to things on the spiritual level. And my mother always spoke to me. We were very close with a very spiritual heart of just understanding the dynamics of nature and our connection to the Most High. My mother transitioned when I was 25.
Oh, wow.
And that really, really catapulted my journey, because it was really devastating to see my mother struggle with her health and her illness. Complications stemming from diabetes and trusting the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry to assist her or not assist her in, you know, managing these issues, and observing that over the years, observing her pray and those words not really manifesting into a transitional state of health. Made me question a lot of things, made me question reality, made me question the Western approach to wellness, and just really tapping in with my ancestry and, you know, praying and calling on those before me who actually stepped into this work for my bloodline to seek answers and develop things through alchemy. So taking up that mantle of alchemy to transmute a lot of the trauma and the bloodline from the sickness is something that I found myself really drawn to at an earlier age.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I feel that as 25, you were really young in your walk when you lost or you experienced the transition of your mother. For me, what deepened my understanding of the esoteric and metaphysical was the transition of my grandmother. She transitioned when I was in my 40s. and I'm not in my 40s now. And so I understand how those loved ones can really open you up to more if you use the transition as a graduation as such, you know. Of course, you're going to miss them, that kind of thing, but they're still right there. You know, they're right there. And so this is a gateway to that. So that's amazing. All righty. So cultural significance, and from your perspective and what you think and what you've discovered over the years, how does plant medicine hold cultural significance within the Black community in the ways that they can bridge and reconnect with ancestral wisdom and tradition? So you're talking about your mom transitioning and you seeing her struggle and understanding it from this level. It's like, well, she didn't get the help that she needed. And why is that? You know, and we know that there are a lot of political and all those kind of reasons, but are there some different ways that we can do it? Because you started asking questions because of the trauma. So when we look at cultural significance and bridging the gap between ancestral wisdom and traditions, how do you see plant medicine helping us do that?
I definitely see plant medicine as a major catalysis for our transformation, especially as a people. I feel that just like we can acknowledge that certain people who came to our land here and you know, gave us things like the Bible. And no shade, because it does have some pearls of wisdom in it, obviously, but gave us that in exchange for them taking our land. A lot of other things have been switched out as well. A lot of our ancestral rites of passages, a lot of our ancestral just lifestyle approaches to wellness have kind of been lost. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of us are seeking answers and seeking alternative lifestyles to the culture that is projected onto us collectively, the melanated people of the West. You know, we're ready to really dig into some of the more ancient and esoteric understanding aspects of things, which is really appropriate for the age of Aquarius, you know. It's all in alignment with that energy. I have a phrase that I always refer to when it comes to artificial intelligence. It's a big deal where everybody's aware of it. You know, we know there's some dangers to it, but it's definitely making its headway in society. But the polarity of that, I feel, is ancestral intelligence. And mm-hmm. I feel that's coming on online right alongside of the the artificial intelligence.
That's the real AI. That's the real AI.
And
so this is the bridge to tap into the actual AI. That part, you know,
the original.
That's the OI. That's the AI.
It's all of that.
Yes, I love that. And if people can understand it as such, when you think about the campaign against quote unquote drugs, you know, like even marijuana and things like that. And growing up, and I've never been, you know, one who commune with marijuana or weed or things like that growing up. But people would say, oh, it's illegal. It's illegal. Then, you know, I came to think about it. It's like, it's a plant. Like, how do you make a plant illegal? Like, it literally grows here on the earth, just like all the others, like making cabbage illegal, you know, Schedule One and all those kinds of things. So it's a whole bunch of legal things that are around all of those. But then when they change the legality and now it's a money thing, it's a whole nother thing. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. So you could really just, like you did with the transition of your mom, just look at it like, what's really informing this? Like, what's really behind the laws around what should be done and what shouldn't be done? And how can it benefit us when used properly? You know, so that's been my understanding and awareness, and really kind of releasing the judgment on it and seeing what it can do and why maybe folks don't want people to utilize it, because you're not as easily cultivated in a system that doesn't work for you when you are awake and tapped into the OI and the AI, the real original intelligence and the real ancestral intelligence. So my question is this: how can, or I want you to elaborate, because with Angel Alchemy, Ariel has beautiful things that she helps us utilize for really healing. So, you know, as you elaborate on plant medicines such as iboga and mushrooms and things like that, how they're used for revitalization and healing, particularly in addressing trauma and fostering resilience in the Black community. Like, some people are stuck in a loop, you know, and some people will stay in the loop, but they're those who really want out. They want a path out. And they don't necessarily know how. How can these things help folks bust out of these cyclical trauma cycles?
Oh man, that's the question of the age right now. I think first, just being able to recognize your inner world is really powerful and important. Lauryn Hill said it best, how you gonna win if you ain't right within, baby?
I say, yes, you did.
You know, so just going within oneself.
Again.
Listen, that was the most classic line that I still to this day utilize, because it's just so timeless. It's so true. You know, we have to be able to utilize just not only just the basic modalities of breath work and, you know, working with the superfoods, which is something I also highly promote, yoga, and also just gentle cleansing and gently tapping into these deeper parts of ourselves. I find that it's fascinating working with iboga, which is my feature medicine, that it has a way of, gently like excavating trauma out of the emotional body, which is so needed for so many people, because there's so many things that we got hidden in these closets that people choose to keep back there because they're not ready to deal with. I mean, sometimes you have trauma that's so deep within people that they don't even remember what it was. You know, they have scars on their body that they don't even remember what it came from. Because of so many things that are suppressed. And in order to heal, you must first feel. You can't heal it if you can't reveal it. So being able to pull these things, unpack these things, it's just the first step in order to get into the deeper levels of healing, which results in ascension.
So that's the difference between things like alcohol and other things that numb, so you don't feel, you know,
yes.
And you stay stuck. I thought it was amazing that during COVID that liquor stores were deemed as essential. You know, they had to have those open. You know, you had the hospital and the liquor store and, you know, the pizza place. These are essential things, but you couldn't go to work. But you get what I'm saying? So it's like, that's medicine. Again, like, the culture is speaking in volumes of where they want you. They want you doled out, not really feeling and healing. They want you just anesthetized. So for those who are ready to feel and heal, I love that it's gentle with you, but it's here to awaken you and up-level you when you're ready.
And I do want to speak to that, because there's this thing about, like, understanding that alcohol is an extractant, right? Mm-hmm. It numbs you, but it also extracts your essence out of your body, which is why they call it wine and spirits, because when your essence get extracted out, then now you become an empty vessel for other energies to come in and mount you. And that's when people, you know, have these experiences where they black out and they become something or somebody totally different. And then, you know, doing all kind of wild things. And then they come back in their body and don't even remember any of it.
Wow.
Now, working with these sacred sacraments is the complete opposite, especially iboga particularly, because you become deeply grounded in your vessel and your energy to the point where it becomes a form of oversoul retrieval work.
Wow. You know?
And even without the alcohol and drugs and things like that, a lot of people are just not present because they have a lot of holes in their auric field. There's a lot of parasitic things going on that need to be cleansed out. And that causes a lot of the essence, which is our divinity and our godliness, to leave. Because as we know, godliness dwells in cleanliness.
I say.
And if the vessel's not clean, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, then there may be a big lack of presence of that godly force. Although we have grace, but these medicines really help us come back into our wholeness, and that's what I love about it. So thank you for speaking to that.
Yes. I love that. My experience with Iboga, really, it was, I've had maybe about four experiences with them, but this is extended over the last 5 months. And it's been very deep and very centering, very grounding, very clearing. I could feel it subtly at first because I started with the microdosing. And then I did a dose that was much like ayahuasca. And the funny thing is, I didn't know it was going to be like that. I thought it would be more like bufo or something. But I trusted the shaman. I trusted the shaman I was working with. And it was very, it just took me by surprise how it overtook me for a period of time. And really, I was just out for a moment. You know, I commune with different aspects of my spirit. And it was funny to me to see all of the lifetimes. I saw it like a stadium full of lives. And I'm like, all of these is me? It's like, yeah, girl, you've been here since the beginning. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. Okay. That's what the spirits were saying to me. It is a lot, but you're good. You know, we got you. So it's been a beautiful journey, you know, and you know, the sacrament that you provided to all of that has just been a beautiful. Just understanding that it's all okay. These are shells for our spirits that we wear right now. And although they're beautiful and we love them, we're just here for a while in these shells, but we're here forever, you know, energetically. So that part's amazing. When you said about alcohol, wine, and spirits, and you're clearing your spirit so other things can overtake you, and it's interesting they put spirits right there on the sign, beer, wine, and spirits, you know, and folks never question the spirit part. I never hear anybody question that. They say, I'm going to get some spirits. You know, I'm getting my whatever. So it's very interesting. So when people put Iboga and mushrooms and, you know, psilocybins and these in the same categories with quote unquote drugs, all of them can be a path to awakening if you use them properly, if you have the proper intention, if you know what you're using them for, they can be. But that's the thing. And so I want to talk about the role of education and what role does it play in responsibly using these sacraments and understanding how we ensure that the knowledge about accessibility and using it to really empower ourselves rather than to just stay in the matrix or stay, you know, like a hamster on the wheel. How can we educate? Like, this conversation is a part of that, to let them know that, hey, these are paths to empowerments and this is how. So chat about that a bit.
Okay, well, first I would like to say, it's a little noisy, excuse me. Okay.
Beautiful background.
There we go. So, the first aspect of that is that, I mean, I started somewhere. Everybody has to start somewhere. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Mm-hmm. And not anytime sooner. So, you know, if you really have a passion to, you know, seek these things out, there is definitely a plethora of information online. There's a powerful book called The Root of All Healing. That is a book that you can find on Amazon that has that. I actually wrote a brochure on Iboga that has a lot of different information and breaking down. But I'm actually thinking about coming out with something a little more extensive. Mm-hmm. In order to cover a lot of bases, because you could literally make a whole pamphlet about this thing and it could go on for weeks, you know, mm-hmm. studying into the depths of this technology, because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Black Matter technology, ancestral technology, and I think just being able to, you know, sit with the medicine is one of the best ways to learn it as well. So yes, you know, ask the elders and the people that are actually authorities within this space of working with the sacrament, study the literature that they put out, but also, you know, question within, ask the, you know, deeper aspect of yourself, what is it and how to connect with it. And then if you ever do get a chance to, you know, either connect with Iboga, you could do what I did. I had a very, very, very profound experience when I first got a nice hefty shipment in of Iboga from the Bwiti tribe, which I was so elated and grateful for. I actually took the medicine and I prayed over it and I slept with it under my pillow just to connect with the energy of the medicine. And I asked the spirit of Iboga to teach me and show me its ways and really open itself up to me so I can understand it. And when I tell you I went to sleep that night, probably forgot somewhere down the line. Woke up and I felt like I had been in Africa for 3 months.
Wow.
Literally had to get up and I had to write about it on my page. And I'm a very, you know, to myself kind of a person. So sometimes it's a little challenging for me to open up because a lot of this stuff is just very sacred to me. And it's something that I just hold dear to my heart. But I just felt that that experience, I mean, just the African line dancing, the elders who were talking to me at the top of the mountains, the elders who were talking to me and showing me things in the caves, the colors red, black, and white showing up, and just all of the mysticism of how this spirit was moving just from sleeping with it under my pillow, it just meant so much, and it just it gave me so much that Google could never.
I said, Google don't know. You know what I mean? They don't know. We got to go back to that original intelligence. I love that. That ancestral intelligence. That sounds amazing. So sleeping with it, connecting with it. And for you, you trusted yourself. You trusted your path in terms of what to do to connect. And then you had a beautiful experience. That sounds amazing. How does elements like Iboga and mushrooms and combo shift brain patterns in real time? Have you seen that in evidence in working with yourself or working with others? How have you seen brain patterns actually shift?
Definitely. Well, first of all, especially working with the animal medicines and Iboga, well, the energies that govern a lot of these sacraments are like brain surgeons, slowly transmuting energy, clearing out debris from the neural pathways of the brain, and rebalancing the brain chemistry and the nervous system, which is a major part of not only our electromagnetic field, but our entire being on multiple different levels. It's very important to fine tune the nervous system. So these sacraments do just that, calming the nerves, which I find it funny because growing up, we always heard and used the expression, you're getting on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the polarity of being somebody getting on your nerves or something getting on your nerves would be nirvana, which still has that key word in it, nerve. So we're dealing with states of nirvana when we're working with these sacraments in an integral way and in an intentional way.
Wow. When I think of nerves, in fact, I was listening to a podcast this week and someone was talking about, maybe it was Dr. Yaki, if you're familiar with him, kind of a health guru out of St. Louis.
Yes, and that's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, okay, so you know. So he was talking about the hair being an extension of the nervous system. And I always thought of the hair as antennas, but specifically as an extension of the nervous system, for me, a light went off like, wow. And then you see people who have ball patches or things like that, then that's damage to your nervous system. It's like, wow, really, this whole intelligent body is all connected. And when we're doing things that keep us out of connection and out of alignment, then you're going to have these quote unquote symptoms that you don't necessarily want. And then you have medical professions that are treating the symptoms, but not the root cause, where the root cause is healing the nervous system, healing the brain, doing this work. So if we tell people, listen, you take this Iboga, your hair is going to be beautiful. They're going to be like, what?
I can't believe it. But you see me, I mean, I look like my work. I mean, it don't get no better, you know?
You're angelic. Yes, you are. You look amazing. So, but
thank you.
Go ahead.
I wanted to touch on something too, because it's so, you know, everything is everything, right? So when we dealing with
another Laura Hill line, everything is everything.
That's my girl. I can't get enough of her, but you know, everything is everything. So the Iboga is a root bark, but when you look at the roots, you know, they are like nerves.
Yes. Yeah, they're amazing. So nerves in the earth. Yeah.
Exactly. Like so there's definitely a correlation with how that technology is and how we're becoming one with that and merging with that essence and that strengthening our nervous system, which are roots of our body, and that helping us deal with the root of our issues, which really start on the energetic level, especially the emotional level.
Ashe, that is so everything. I've been doing a sugar detox for my body this year. And, you know, I realized that sugar is the root of a whole lot of health and wellness issues. And so I said, you know, 2025, I'm not going to do any sugar. And so I fell off the wagon maybe twice this year, but it's April now. So I'm patting myself on the back, like, good job. But what's helped me in aligning my nervous system to not reach for those things that I don't want has been the iboga, has been the nervous system calm. You know, that calm that's been running through my system has allowed me to shift my brain pattern so that I could do something different. So now here I am 4 months into the year, you know, after the first quarter, and I can sit at a table in Chicago with my sisters with all the desserts that I would have taken a bite out of each and every one of them and not even want it. You know, like, I had no desire. I'm just looking at it like, not worth the calories, not worth the teeth stuff, not worth none of that. So she was like, you want them? I'm like, I'm good. And I was like, wow, who are, I'm looking at myself, who are you?
I'm telling you.
This is my brain. This is my brain on iboga. I'm able to be victorious in the path that I set out for myself and for my health. So amazing, shifting brain patterns. You started chatting about the animal sacraments. I want to get into that a little more. When you say things like snake venom, and I've actually done the combo a time or so, there's an element of me that feels a little fear around those things. And when I feel that, I know it's something that I should do. I just have to, again, govern my nervous system so that I'm ready to go forward. So talk a little bit about the animal sacraments and what is the significance of animal sacraments in the plant medicine practice. Or we don't have to call it plant medicine practice. We're just saying these are sacraments that are available and they contribute to overall healing. So talk about the overall healing of some of these animal sacraments.
Yeah, the animal medicines are extremely powerful and very, very great at clearing and also activating certain aspects of the DNA. So there's an order to the way that one would approach the animal medicines, I would say, if they're looking to really tap into purification, mind, body, and spirit. And the order would be starting with the Campbell. Because as we know, a lot of what we see externally is just the body re-engineered in the outward form, like a computer. So the body being a supercomputer, the way we would approach cleansing and upgrading a computer is the way we would do the body. So the first thing you want to do is you want to remove the viruses.
I should.
You know, and that would be the Campbell. So the Campbell is going to come in and it's going to cleanse you physically, mentally, spiritually there and remove what they call panema, which is energetic debris that sits in the auric field. Mm-hmm. And it pushes it out. And it's interesting because when I sit in my Campbell sessions with a client, and I normally start them with like a 3-day fast and just doing some herbal cleansing. Before we actually get into working with the Campbell, but once they get in that space and the medicine's in them and it's pushing things out, it becomes like an MRI scan or a CAT scan, but in a natural, nature-based way, as well as it being a nature-based vaccine. So that's just pushing out information on these waves, kind of like you would see a frog on a lily pad pushing out waves and vibrating. That's how the medicine works. And then on those electromagnetic waves, I'm able to see what other issues in the light body or the physical body are showing up and what part of the body they're showing up. And then that helps me further assist and do energy work to release those energies or transmute those energies, as well as also consider other options with the next medicine, which would be the serpent venom. And the serpent venom is also a medicine that's applied transdermally, just like Campbell. So, you know, with Campbell, they just pretty much open up the first layer of the skin with bamboo sticks, little dots with a cherry, and then open that skin layer, and then they sit the medicine on the skin. Serpent venom is applied the same way. However, with the serpent venom, it is a highly diluted medicine in comparison to Campbell, which is just straight whatever, you know, the venom from off of the top of the frog. So with the serpent venom, because it's so powerful, it's highly diluted. And when you have it in such a highly diluted form, what can actually harm you in a macro dose can heal you in a micro dose in the same fashion. Wow. So it's pretty fascinating, the paradox of that. And unlike Campbell, it's like the polarity of it, because Campbell is a very aggressive and I would say masculine form of purification and cleansing. Whereas the serpent venom is a very gentle, very subtle, yet very powerful, kind of like the iboga of the animal medicines.
So with the serpent venom, are you purging? Is it a purgative sacrament like Campbell, or different?
It's not purgative in that way. You do transmute things and shed layers like a snake sheds a skin. Mm-hmm. But it's not in the aggressive way of the way you would see a Campbell experience go down.
Okay.
You know, Campbell is just like a 30 minute to an hour, very intense vibrational, like, you know, you can get swelling and you can get, you know, heart increase rate and, you know, a lot of different things that go on in the physiology in the body. But with the serpent venom, when you open up those gates and you put that medicine on, in many cases, you won't feel much right away, but it'll subtly start to work on your nervous system and you'll start to notice a calmness. You'll start to notice a lot of mental clarity and a lot of what they call a monkey mind energy starting to dissipate. You'll also notice an expansion in your crown energetically and physically.
Wow.
As well as just clearing things out and your bowels strengthening, because the technology of the serpent, just imagine how a snake eats. They eat something whole and swallow it up and break it down like that. So now you're getting the strength of the bowels of the serpent intelligence, where you may have a bowel movement, but it's not going to be abrasive. It's going to just upgrade your solar plexus and your stomach intestinal tract.
Wow, that's amazing. How often should someone utilize serpent venom? Is that something to use on a monthly basis or quarterly, or what, or is it case by case? How do you do that?
I would say it's case by case. Some people take the serpent venom to heal certain physical ailments. And depending on the ailment, there will be specific snakes that work with that. There's serpent medicine for the sacred feminine, which is the water moccasin. It's really powerful for the womb healing and cleansing the root chakra, as well as removing certain viruses out of the body. Then you have serpent venoms that are heart openers. You have serpent venoms that are really good for the throat chakra. You have serpent venoms that are really cerebral. And some of them are a mixture of those things.
Wow.
So it really just depends, you know?
Which ones do you work with? Like the ones you name, you work with all of those?
Oh, yeah. I work with the cobra. I work with a few cobras. So I work with the monoclic cobra. I work with the spinning blackneck cobra. I work with the king cobra. I also work with, and you know, the cobras is like the Y-Jet degree, because you're dealing with the Kemetic ancestors that have the pharaoh with the cobra in the crown, which is actually a technology that can be activated. And it's something that I've been able to prove with some of the energies that have come online, and people see it in my pictures at times. They see that you raise that cobra in my crown. You know, so it's really, really powerful. It's not just a look or a fashion. It's a deep technology that our ancestors had. Now, besides the cobras, we have the bushmaster, we have the water moccasin. Again, the bushmaster's for the men. That's, you know, for the men that want to tap into their testosterone and their power, and it heals on their root chakra level as well as the throat. Then you got the water moccasin for the women. I also work with the diamondback rattlesnake. I work with the Gabon viper. I work with the green tree viper. The copperhead, I have a really, really powerful copperhead alchemy that I've been able to dilute and make, and people absolutely love that.
Wow.
It's really awesome.
So now I'm picturing you, Ariel, like in your angelic alchemy sacred area with just snakes all around. Like you just have your own group, your own tribe of snakes that provide this sacrament for you to give to your clients. Now, do you actually work with the snake directly, or you just work with their sacrament? Are you a snake charmer?
I am a snake charmer to the ones that can be charmed. it's definitely not a game. I have owned a few venomous snakes for a short period of time and had an experience in being able to milk a few snakes that were younger that with a business partner of mine, we were able to do that. And then I was able to kind of work with the medicine and learning how to purify and learning how to dilute it, learning how to actually connect to the animals as well, which is very important, being able to pray over those animals and give honor and ashe to the great serpent energy, the divine feminine, and all of the Naga energies that also are connected to this sacred medicine. So yeah, it's been quite a journey with that.
Well, that's super dope. Tahuti is on the line and he says that snake venom puts you in a trance. He says it's the theta state of the mind. So we know how powerful that theta state is. So this sounds fascinating.
Peace, Tahuti. And he definitely, thank you for connecting us as well. You know, that's a powerful brother that I love to my soul working with. And we're in a year of the snake, by the way. So it's definitely a beautiful time to connect with this energy because you're dealing with massive transformation, you know, the fountain of youth, reverse aging, and you see the beauty, the glow, the shine.
You see what we talking about. What? I love this for us. So we've been talking about, in addition to this powerful animal sacrament, I'm going to try that. So that'll be my next journey in this year of the snake before June. I want to talk back about ancestral activation and really talk about the concept of that through plant medicine or animal sacrament and how we can tap into our lineage and get guidance and strength from our team, really, our team of ancestors who are there with us all the way. We're never alone. Like, I know that so completely now. We're never alone. How do we tap in with these sacraments?
Well, you know, I always say pay homage every step you take. You know, give thanks and ashe to the ancestors that have come before you. Give thanks to the Most High. Give thanks to Mother Earth for allowing us to have this beautiful experience. And, you know, ground yourself, you know, and just continue to do the necessary preliminary steps of internal and external hygiene before you step into this deeper arena. So that looks like fasting. That looks like meditation and breath work. There's different forms of Kriya Yoga that I teach to help people balance the mind, body, and spirit and tap deep into breath work, hold certain postures, and, you know, tap into these higher aspects of themselves and clarify their purpose. And then from there, you know, just being able to decide and determine what you're called to, you know, because there's a plethora of different things out there. You know, I don't work with every medicine, and I'm not necessarily called to every medicine, but the ones I do work with and I'm called to, those are the ones that have done wonders for me in the way that it was meant to. So you have to be able to decide what's really for you. Connect with your ancestors, connect with your higher self, and, you know, call in the love and light that's necessary in order for you to make the discernment decisions that's best for you on this beautiful path of ancestral intelligence.
Ashe, goddess. So you know what? I see magic and transformation in just spending time with you, being in your energy. When I initially saw you on Uncle Hanky's show, I was like, this one right here, I want to talk to her because she has something. And when I've talked to you now, I'm thinking about just magic and how magic plays a transformative role with plant medicine, really tapping into those things that people think is juju or woo-woo or that kind of thing. When you really come to know, no, it's actually real. Like, the things that are more real are the things that you don't see, because it creates everything that you do see. I know you understand what I'm talking about. So how can individuals who are looking to harness this personal and collective magic, how can they utilize these journeys with these sacred sacraments to get more magical, to be more magical, to really be more of themselves?
Well, you know, one of the first things that I say is to recognize that we are the elements. And I found it to be profound that even in the language, there's a lot of hidden secrets that allude to the fact that we are our gods, and we are literally here to work with this energy in a mystical way. So when people are sick, they say, oh, you know, such and such is under the weather. Mm-hmm. Well, what does it mean to be under the weather? That means to be under the foot of the elements. But what would the polarity of that look like? To be over the elements? To have command over the elements, which would make us avatars?
I say windbender, earthbender, firebender.
And this is the level that these medicines can take you to, where you're able to not only have dominion over your internal elements, which is the first level and step to, you know, tapping into these medicines, but also having then from there an external connection with the elements and being able to wield the forces of nature in such a beautiful way, where you're able to connect deeply to everything and just move things on your behalf, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That makes me think, what is your, if you had to pick an element, and you don't because all of those are yours, but if you did, what's your superpower? What's your element?
It's a combination, honestly. Like I'm, you know, I'm a Pisces with a stellium in Aries.
Okay.
And then I'm a Scorpio rising. So it's a lot of fire and water.
Mm-hmm. So you balance it out, you know? I love that. Like when people say you fight fire with fire, like, no, you don't. You know, when there's a fire, firefighters spray more fire on it, they spray water. So when things are hot, you bring the water.
Yeah, so I'm the mystical goddess, because you know, when you add fire and water, you get the mist.
Hey, the mist rising up. I love the mist rising up. I love that for you. I'm a water goddess too. So water is my jam. And I would say air, because I'm everywhere. You know, I'm doing things, I'm water and I'm air. So that's mist too, you see?
From another side, you know?
Or it could be humidity if you're here in DC or Florida when it's really hot.
Exactly.
I love that. So when you're working with plant medicines and animal sacraments, what are the challenges? What are the misconceptions? How, if you could tell people anything about this just to get them open to the idea, what would that be? What would you share?
Well, I lately have been called to work with a lot of the gentle medicines, and the iboga is, I feel, where we need to start. There's a lot of misconceptions around iboga and a lot of fear projected about the dangers of iboga because of its extract, ibogaine.
Mm-hmm.
And iboga is not to be confused with ibogaine. That's just like confusing cocaine with coca leaf.
Okay,
not
right.
To compare it to that, because it is highly benevolent. The energies that govern iboga are highly benevolent and are able to help you in a plethora of ways. But just knowing that these things come from Mother Nature and come from Earth, I mean, everybody has their thing. You know, some people aren't called to these. Some people are called to more of the, you know, pharmaceutical path of things, and that's perfectly fine. But if you're looking to really ground yourself in your ancestral roots and, you know, some of the more nature-based alchemy out there, you know, these medicines are definitely here to support. And they're making themselves more known at this time because of the age we're in and because of the things that are going on. So you definitely will be hearing more about these things. You know, I hope that answers your question. But
oh, it does. As I researched iboga myself, I saw a lot of YouTube videos about ibogaine and some ibogaine clinics where you can go in and have a very medical process where nurses inject and, you know, they put eye mask on you and you lay there for, I'm like, wow, that's very different from ceremony. Like ceremony's another thing where you're in community, and it just seems like you took the funk out of it, you know. You took the soul out of it, really. You took the essence, but you didn't bring all of the other stuff with it that informs it. So I get what you're saying about cocaine and coca leaf. Yeah, they're the same and they're different, you know. You have the whole thing. So that is very powerful. You mentioned gentle path and gentle herbs or gentle ways, and you mentioned iboga. What else would you consider to be a gentle way to start for someone who is new to plant medicine and maybe feeling a little apprehensive, even though they're curious? Where would you recommend they start? You know, iboga, and then what?
From iboga, they can either work with the mushroom Or they can start to go into the animal medicines, like we start working with the serpent venom, because that's also very gentle and very subtle as well. I actually have a really powerful superfood. You know, I don't want to let too much go by without mentioning just starting with some really good superfoods, because I've actually had some clients with some really profound experiences just working with my green goddess, you know, powerful alchemy that has been channeled from the Atlantean ancestors. It's a plethora of different sea algaes that can take you deep into the Atlantean realm and understanding those energies and purifying you on a lot of different levels at the same time. So, you know, those are quantum healing medicines. Hape is a very gentle medicine. It's an ancient tobacco that is really powerful in cleansing the mind, body, and spirit as well. And just being able to sit in a deep meditative space. That medicine is a really, really good medicine that I think a lot of people don't know of, but you know, can definitely work in conjunction with other medicines as well, or by itself. So yeah.
Shay, yes, I love Hape. And your green goddess is so dope. I've been utilizing that and it is, I can feel it. I can feel the yumminess of it. You know, I feel like I'm really doing something good for my body, mind, and spirit. So thank you for that. Well, let's dance. Let's shake these goddess booties for about 30 seconds, and then we'll close out and let the people know where they can reach you and how they can get themselves some of this amazing plant medicine. So we're going to stand up and do that thing.
Yo, back on the bully with cats with the womanized.
See if you can hear this. Okay, come on, thing. Can you hear? Can you hear that? Can you hear Ariel? Okay.
Let's dance. We got a free dance, 30 seconds.
I can't really see that good, but I can't hear it, but
I'm a little friend to begin. How you think you really gon' pretend? Like you wasn't down it. Call them again. Plus, when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it, then you probably can.
Hey!
Next thing you're a rich man. I'm a star. You put the 10 out. That was the same.
Yes! Yes! Yes, my love! So we had to bust it out with Lauryn Hill since we were giving her props all through the show. Y'all remember that song, that thing, doo-wop. Much
doo-wop.
Yes, much love to our goddess, Lauryn Hill. So my love, tell the people where they can find you. Of course, I'll have all of your links posted below, what you have coming up next, where they can get some green goddess and some of these beautiful sacraments that you have for our healing mind, booty, and spirit.
So right now I'm only on Facebook. I'm working on the Instagram, but I haven't done that yet. I've been pretty busy. I actually been just really out in the world and in ceremony. I'm not really too big of a social media person, but I do have a Facebook. You all can connect with me through Facebook as Ariel Williams. Or you can hashtag Angelic Alchemy, or you can look for me through Adina, because I believe we're friends, or I follow her page. So you could definitely find me and connect to me through Facebook. And I could definitely send you more information, brochures, and, you know, even set you up with a consultation or whatever it is necessary in order to kind of get the information you need in order for you to move forward in your own path and healing.
I love that. I love that for us. I love that for the community. Those who are waking up and looking for the light. The light is shining brightly here for our healing. We are ready for the next level. My next thing is I'm going to journey with you with the animal sacrament. I'm ready for that. So Ariel, I enjoy this conversation and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Likewise. Thank you for having me, Adina. And I look forward to us working together in the future.
Yes, Sri Matre Namaha, everyone. Thanks for those who joined us live. You hear this recording, please do check us out. Much love, and we're out.
Much love. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.